Okay, go ahead, Terry.
Thank you very much. Tonight, what I'd like to share on the title of it, excuse me, is Remember and No Fear. If you take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 12, please. In Exodus chapter 12, this is the Passover is instituted with Israel, with Moses. And there's a verse here that I wanted to read first, and it's in verse 14 of chapter 12, and it says, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial." And that word memorial means a reminder or a remembrance. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. And this word feast is a festival or a gathering or a celebration. They were to celebrate this, and they were to remember what God had done. So if you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're going to catch up on some of these truths that they were to remember. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 20. "And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always." See, that was the benefit if they did what God had said. It was for their good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. "And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us." This was how the children of Israel were to love God with all their heart. Now, if you look at chapter 7, we're going to start in verse 6. "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth." See, this was a special choosing when God was choosing the children of Israel. "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor chose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen for the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." See, they were to remember what God had done with all his ability, all his power, all his might, and how he stretched forth his hand to take them out of bondage and to give them this promised land that was promised to their fathers. Verse 9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." Then skip down to verse 12. It says, "Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments, and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee, and bless thee, and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep and the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle." And what these verses are telling us is that God is doing exceeding abundantly above all that they could have asked or thought. I bet not one of them would have thought about all these things that God is planning to give them and that he had been planning to bless them with. Verse 15, and the Lord will take away from thee all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. So if you're walking down the street and you see somebody with a disease, you would know that that was probably one of your enemies, because it wasn't part of the children of Israel. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eyes shall have no pity or no compassion upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee, or a trap. It would be like a birdcage if they did that. Verse 17, if thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Then it says in verse 18, thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shall well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt, the great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand, and the stretched out arm whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out. So shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. See, they were always to remember that God was there to back them up and to take care of them and to help them in time of need. No matter what came up, no matter how severe, how big it looked, they were to remember God. Always remember that God is there. Then verse 20, moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. Thou shalt not be affrighted or have fear at them. For the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God. And that word terrible could be awesome or to be reverent. And that was what they were to remember. So look at chapter 11. We'll skip to chapter 11 and see some of these truths. In chapter 11, it says in verse 7, it says, but your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land whither ye go to possess it, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. For the land whither thou goest and to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. What they did was they would take their feet and they would make these little channels so that the water could come in and water their crops and what they were, the seed that they had sown. Verse 11 says, but the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of the land in its due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for the cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth. And as you continue to read, you just see God just telling them and giving them all this information of all the love and all the things that he was going to provide for them so that they would be a blessed people. They would be well taken care of. God was giving them things that they didn't even know that they even needed yet. But this is the nature of our God, our Father, is to provide and to take care of every need and every care, and in this case, before they even needed it. And you look back, let's skip down to verse 21. It says that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Lord swear unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. And what this is indicating is you get to see what the true heaven is like. That it's, you know, it's a place of abundance. It's a place of compassion and love, you know, of caring. You know, you see the true nature of God providing for these people. He was showing them the reasons why they should look to him and always remember God. So no matter what came up, we've got God on our side. And if they did that, it was to their benefit. Let's skip down to verse 26. It says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods, which ye have not known." See, if they continue to do what God asked them to do, they would be a blessed people. Look at Joshua chapter 1. There's one verse here I want to look at real quick. It says in Joshua chapter 1, it says in verse 9, it says, this is God telling Joshua, they're at the threshold getting ready to cross the Jordan to go into the promised land. And God is saying here in verse 9, it says, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." And how effective would Joshua have been for God if he was afraid and he walked into that promised land afraid of every person that he saw, or, you know, the people that he was bringing in? You know, God had to remind him to not be afraid, because God was going to be there with him the same way he was with Moses. See, God needed Joshua to stay the course and not be afraid every time trouble came. Joshua had to man up and lead. And, you know, most of all, he needed to listen to God. He needed to keep his eyes on God. So he needed to keep the things of God in his memory and in his mind. And he was to say them out loud so that he could hear and remind himself that God was there to take care of him and help him. Look at Acts chapter 1, please. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus Christ is telling the disciples, and this one verse is so powerful. It's in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And that word power is dunamis. It was spiritual power. It was the spiritual ability that when they received that Spirit of God in them, that they were going to have. And it was going to give them the authority the same as Jesus Christ and what he had. And they had already experienced this earlier when God had sent them out two by two to go out and to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the people and to cast out devils and to heal all sickness and all disease. And they got to see what that power was like. And let's look, I want to close in 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says in verse 6, and this is Paul talking to Timothy, says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." And that word "stir" is really a good word to look up. It means to have fire. It's to have that flame lit. You know, he was to just really stir up that gift of God that he had. Then it says in verse 7, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, So anytime we have fear, we know it's not from God. And if it's not from God, then it has to be a part of the world. It's something in the world that's causing us to have fear. But there's another way of looking at this too. Paul was telling Timothy that you're going to be challenged to be afraid. There's things that might come up that might cause you or tempt you to be afraid. But you need to remember that's not of God, and that's not who you are. He says, but what you are and what you have is, but you have been in that spirit given power and of love and of a sound mind. See, he was to be reminded that he had spiritual power, spiritual ability. Even when, you know, things look like, man, this is a big deal. Can I do this? He was to remember that he had the power of God in him and that he could do, you know, make the impossible possible with that authority and that ability that God had given him in that spirit. And then he had the love of God, which is spiritual love, that ability to love the unlovable. You know, there is going to be times even in our lives when we're challenged to not be loving, and yet we can draw off of that Spirit of God in us and love the unlovable. Then it says, and of a sound mind. You know, that's a spiritual soundness. It's a spiritual sound mind that we can get our minds to think and to track along God's Word so that in every situation we're confronted with, that we can do things rightly, rightly according to God's Word, and really do things with that ability that God had given us in that Spirit. And that's what I wanted to share.